Are you looking for a little more horror in your RPG gaming during this holiday season? Look no further than the inaugural Illusion Horror Convention, December 2nd through to the 4th. This exclusively online convention features over 45 gaming submissions from games masters around the world, charity events hosted by special guest games masters, horror RPG and media panels featuring writers and creators from Cult Divinity Lost, Peter Nallo, Robin Lillenberg, Matthew Dawkins, Scott Dorwood, Matt Sanderson, Seth Skorkowski, Hilmar Norden, and many, many more. And what would a holiday season be without gifts? Thanks to sponsors of the Illusion Horror Con, such as Helmgast, Chaosium, and Free League, there will be charity raffles for amazing prizes. So please go to www.theillusionhorrorcon.events for all the details on all the amazing horror-filled fun happening December 2nd through to the 4th. Players have only until November 28th to sign up for games, but if you hear this after that, you can still join panels, no registration required. Again, just head to www.theillusionhorrorcon.events for all the details and links to join the Discord server, and please follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Now, on with the show.
After the Vagabonds have spent a single night in Redmill, the clearing is in turmoil. Bennett has ingratiated themselves with the Marquisate leader by claiming to be a leading denizen of the clearing. Derwent has sung songs with the eerie partisan Smith Brogan. Silas has received a sinister warning from a hooded bird and learned something about the governor's brutal taxation regime. And a mysterious figure has stolen banners from the governor's mansion and set fire to the Marquisate camp. As for Soren, he somehow missed everything again. So, we're picking up the action early the next morning. I am assuming that you're taking up rooms at the Shaved Ferret.
Yes, I don't see why not.
Because it's there, and because Shufti can get you accommodation on the cheap.
I have an invitation to the big house, do I not?
You do, but you'll have to wait until the civilized hours to go and take advantage of it.
And I'd like to check out the phalanstery.
The phalanstery, yes indeed. However, which one of you would like to have the room facing the square?
I'll have it. We have no one else is volunteering.
Okay, so Bennett, you are awoken at unsociable hour in the morning by shouting out in the marketplace.
Bennett turns over and tries to go back to sleep.
Okay, well, I guess you don't find that what that
was. Okay, I take it back. It's wasn't going to be... If I must commit to being in the spirit of the game, very well. I get up and go to the window and take a look outside.
Okay, you see a couple of eerie guards pelting around the side of the manor, waving their spears, chasing a figure, long-legged, with a paint pot, leaving a streak of red paint across the marketplace as they leg it away, faster than the guards can catch them. The side of the mansion has been defaced. Where once was an eerie banner, which has mysteriously gone missing, now someone has painted up the words "Freedom Goes Masked" along with what appears to be a very creditable stab at the salamander's leaf mask in red paint. It's not entirely finished because they were caught in the act. The figure appeared to be a rabbit, and from your elevated vantage point, you can see that they are heading off towards a ruined building at the edge of town, which is covered by some large brown awnings on which someone has daubed sort of a big sunburst in a jolly, childish sort of way.
Oh, I sigh at the window and consider that probably I should... Oh, I'd wake everyone else up, because if I'm awake, then everyone else has to wake up too. And I tell them about the figure and the rabbit, and there's some mysterious salamander thing. Tell them what I've seen, basically. I don't have to repeat it now.
Oh, that sounds very exciting indeed. Are you sure it wasn't the salamander himself?
It was a tiny little rabbit. I know what a rabbit looks like.
Right, well, that building you described, that sounds like the philanthropy I was told about yesterday.
What is the philanthropy again?
It seems to be where the priest is taking up residence with the poor and needy and such, and, you know, handing out goods and arms and legs and that.
Where is he getting these legs from? Is he from frogs?
Well, that would make sense, although considering the anthropomorphic state of this story, it'd probably be more...
I am quite sure that the frogs are not sentient. I have eaten many of them and not a one has complained.
Oh, I feel like I've been ripped off.
Also, I'm stereotyping a nation. Please do not complain. I will accept any and all jokes about the haggis, so it is very fair.
This means... that the masked salamander has followers, allies even. He has achieved popularity, and he has a small band who have flocked to his banner, whoever he may be. Now, he should be using that power wisely and not do anything completely irresponsible and arsonist with it.
You know, if he were here and could hear us, then I would probably tell him that, you know, it's a duty to all the animals here to be responsible with this newfound power. If only he could hear us now.
Soren's just absentmindedly looking out the window, admiring the paintwork.
So, what do we think if these guards catch up with this little rabbit will happen? Do you think they will stab him? What if the little rabbit runs to the priest and the god starts stabbing the priest? That seems a little bit sacrilegious. No? Okay, I am going back to the bed. Good night.
Well, by now you can hear the rattle of people working downstairs in the kitchen. It's probably not far off when breakfast is going to be served, should you wish to be up for it.
Very well, I take this back. I am going downstairs to have some delicious breakfast.
Always takes me a little while in the morning to get into me act.
This is an accent you're doing? It all sounds very English to me. They all sound the same sense of the border. The French border. The border in France. There is a channel.
Well, so, anyone else descending for breakfast?
Soren will descend, but he's going to, I think, skip breakfast and just go for a stroll to see whether he can find
No, I've got to follow him.
Okay.
Oh, the fools. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
So, Soren and Derwent are off for a meander. Silas
had literally just sat down to prepare himself for a sumptuous feast and then sees everyone leaving through the door again. Oh, no, it's not going to happen again.
I think Bennett is sticking around if you want
yes,
to stick
with
Bennett.
Yes, I am having the breakfast. Where are the croissants, please?
Oh, everyone can. Everyone should clear your exhaustion tracks after a good sleep, by the way. So, Soren, as you're the driving force behind this expedition... So, Silas, did you say you were going with the other two or staying with Bennett?
I'll stay with Bennett.
Okay, so it was nice having the party together for a minute.
There must be an A plot and the B plot, or yeah. you get confused and bored in the Star Trek episodes.
I suppose I should be happy there isn't an A, B, C, and D plot.
Give it time.
Soren, where are you headed?
Definitely heading to the building where the rabbit ran to.
Okay. So, as you get closer, you can hear a bit of a commotion going on. You wind your way through, or possibly over, the little mouse houses. This building was a stone building you think was probably a storehouse or something like that. It has fallen into ruin some time ago, and it's now been kind of turned into a bit of a makeshift sort of little shanty town. There are bedrolls and tents outside it. And a big awning has been put over where the roof was with the aforementioned sun marking. Sorin, that sun marking might be a lizard cult thing?
Yeah.
Ooh. I mean, lizard cult sort of symbology varies massively because the cult tends to rely on individual preachers who just go off into the wilds and tend to become almost immediately heretical to everyone else. the whole cult is a sequence of unorthodoxies that somehow holds together as a religion. But you think it's at least within the bounds of possibility. There are a couple of eerie soldiers, presumably the two that Bennett saw out of the window, and they are currently knocking around a robed lizard, while a number of kind of unhappy and hungry and generally impoverished looking mice look on, but obviously don't feel themselves able to do anything about it.
Well, obviously I'm going to charge straight up to those soldiers. What on earth do you think you're doing? That looks like a priest you're knocking around there. That's intolerable. This is a violation of religious freedom.
The two birds stop poking the robe lizard with their spear butts and stare at you and exchange looks, which is quite easy when you're a bird and your eyes are on the side of your head. And one of them says, "What's a priest then?" And the other one says, "What's a religious freedom then?"
This is intolerable, intolerable.
I thought this one was a phalansterologist.
I'm sorry, a what?
a phalamonster?
Something like that. No, these two are just doing their jobs. I feel that we should congratulate them, for they have apprehended clearly a dangerous criminal. Haven't you two? Haven't you two been up all night working hard, doing all you can to help the poor people of this old town, eh? Yeah, that's what you've been doing. So I think, and what I'm doing, Adrian, here is using one of my skills. And I've rolled a 9. With that gives me 11.
Okay. That's a complete success in whatever it is you're actually doing.
So I am going to deflect their aggression away onto something else, right? And gently move that conversation to, you know, there is far worse going on around here, and I think you'd achieve a modicum of diplomacy with the locals by letting this one into the jurisdiction of whoever this may be, who's clearly part of his people, but more of a moderate sort, who could lead him gently back onto the path. Don't you think, yeah, lads? You do think. Good on you.
That is the slowest fast talk attempt I've ever seen. However, so you talk and they listen, and they're not entirely sure what you're saying, but you appear to have calmed them down, and you've kind of larded them up with compliments. And so at the end of it, they have allowed, or possibly just completely forgotten, the lizard who has kind of been helped inside by some of the mice. And they are agreeing, yes, they've obviously done a phenomenally good job, despite the fact that they have obviously not caught the criminal they were after. You understand from their bitching about it that they have searched the phalanstery for a dangerous criminal, a known arsonist and vandal and thief, but have not have been able to find them, and they believe that there are some kind of shenanigans going on that the lizard is responsible for. One of them even goes so far as to suggest that there is magic being done.
Mm-hmm.
That the lizard has hidden fugitives from them before by use of her wicked magic. It's entirely up to you whether you wish to believe in magic or not.
I mean, Sorin's eyes have definitely got wider and a bit brighter at this.
But eventually they go grumbling on their way, and you can hear them discussing which of the local ne'er-do-wells they will basically frame up and claim was the mysterious painter.
I Oh, what? Yeah, I'm not going to think this through. As they're turning around, I'll just say to them as they're leaving, I was listening to some scuttlebutt in the town square on my way through here, and I heard rumours, you may want to investigate, that the vandal was a marquisate agent.
You see them take that. I mean, that probably doesn't come as any great revelation. I won't require any kind of dice roll for that. Yes, that is. You see them discussing that and trying to work out how they can turn that into a way of currying favour with their boss. Yes, we found out it was a marquisate agent. Yeah, we'll say that. That sounds like a good one. You'll buy that. Okay, and I'm just raising the eerie alert level another notch. That's fine.
Marvellous.
Running a little clock here, that's all. So, you're left with a lot of curious mice.
Can we talk to this guy?
Yes.
No one is stopping you going in. If you want to talk to the lizard, who you find inside, sort of having her bruises dabbed by one of the mice. There are a whole batch more mice and a few rabbits and a fox inside, all of whom are looking ragged and threadbare.
Are you quite all right now? It looked like those thugs were doing absolutely intolerable things to you there. Is there anything we can do to help?
I've had worse. However, my thanks to your badger friend for taking their attention in a way that didn't involve him getting the stripes beat off him. I'm very impressed.
Oh, with sheer luck, I'm just a poor tinker. I don't know what I'm doing.
She gives you a very, very savvy look. A look that suggests that she is not in the, for a moment, fooled by the bumbling tinker.
I've invented a few things. I have.
But from what they were saying outside and from some of the other things I've heard, am I right in thinking that you are allied with the salamander?
Let's just say the chance would be a fine thing. Now, my mission in this clearing is simply to ensure that those who have lost the roofs over their heads, their livelihoods, their fields, have somewhere to go and something to eat. That is the duty placed on all of us. In yes. Service of the dragon.
Yes, a worthy goal indeed. And I suppose that everyone here has suffered in some way at the hands of these warring factions and the damage and destruction they have all wrought.
Some here have come from other clearings, and we've all heard their stories of woe, homes burned, trampled by competing armies. The paws of cats, the feet of birds, it doesn't make a great deal of difference. Others, well, in recent weeks, the governor has become considerably less lenient on the matter of back taxes, shall we say. A number of homes have been confiscated, fields taken for sale to the highest bidder. These here, you see, have all lost their homes in this town alone. And thus, now we find ourselves with, a small army at our gates. And none knows whether the cats will be any more lenient than the birds.
But do you not think that as long as they are at each other's throats, then there is the chance for the rest of us to prosper, that... the more that they are antagonistic towards each other, the more liberty and freedom the rest of us have.
You sound like Hostry.
Is that a good thing?
Well, not usually. And she uses her staff to rap on one of the stone flags of the floor, which then
promptly pops up and reveals a slightly paint-spattered rabbit. Hostry, we appear to have a like mind here. Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
My name is Sorin.
I am the philanthropist Acasta, and this is... Well, this is Hostry. Happy Hostry, says the rabbit, leaping out of the hole.
And my companion here is Derwent.
Derwent? Sorin?
I have also been known to collect stamps.
You mean you've suffered under the boot of the oppressor? Says Hostra.
Oh, I heard that too.
I was listening to what you were saying, Mr. Sorin.
Oh, yes.
It's my belief that if we can reclaim Redmill for the people of Redmill, that is the only acceptable solution to the quandary what we find ourselves in.
Yes, exactly.
And a great blow has been struck only last night.
Really?
A figure in a mask what set fire to the Marquisate camp and also at the same time, like magic, would steal in banners from the front of the governor's mansion.
Oh, he sounds like quite the firebrand.
It's like a hero from one of them songs and stories.
Yes, I have heard tale of this personage. I believe he is known as the Salamander.
The Salamander. He's obviously completely taken by this.
I don't think we quite picked up on that. Could you? could you be a little subtle?
I always wanted to have my own cult.
Meanwhile, going back to the shaved ferret, you have had a very pleasant breakfast indeed. It's been corn cakes and maple syrup and fresh bread. It's been very fine fare. You get the impression you're in the posh inn. You're not normally in the posh inn.
Then why is it called the shaved ferret?
That's what you do when you're posh. You shave it before you eat it.
Oh, good Lord.
Poshest thing I can imagine. Silas is looking deep into his mug to see if anything is written upon the bottom.
There is not, although the pair of you have been getting slightly leery looks from the innkeeper.
Bennett, you don't mind if I just look in your mug, do you?
Oh, please do. I have finished it. It was perfectly adequate coffee.
Oh, all right then. He looks a bit taken aback. He was hoping to finish off your coffee.
You will not steal my coffee. It is very rude.
That's fair.
I'm just going to brush over the world-building logistics of where the hell you're getting coffee.
I am a French otter. There will be coffee, and I'm very sad there were no croissants here.
It's brought across by the pirates down the river.
Yes.
We just discussed this in session zero.
Have you not heard of the coffee animals, the coffee and the coffee gerbils? They are very successful out there in the West. They bring the little cat. They'd have these tiny little boats, and they store the coffee beans in their little cheeks, and then
they shit them out, and that makes it taste good.
That is not what makes it taste good. You see, they pick only the finest beans, and then they shoot them out. And the reason is not that they taste better, but these are the best beans, and they have chosen them because that is what they seek out, and that is how it is done. They wash them before they turn them into coffee.
I have to say, Bennett, it's always an education.
I'd love to think that after all this world building, they're actually just made of roasted acorns.
It does mean that when you actually meet some civets, you're going to look at them so suspiciously.
I would like to give this upset innkeeper a little wave, a very friendly wave.
He immediately starts cleaning a tankard industriously.
I would like to pop over to him and his tankard. Good morning.
Bennett, before you go, I just noted there's nothing on my character sheet that says anything about money, and this does seem to be quite a posh place. I'm just wondering...
Well, the traditional things that I like to do, I say in a very quiet voice, is we tickle the stuff, we take it, we have a tap.
We tickle the staff.
We have a tab. And then at the appropriate moment, we run very, very fast into the forest.
Is that what happened in the last clearing we're at? That makes a lot of sense.
It is the most efficient way to get lots of stuff for very little money.
I thought you said they just liked us, and they let us have the room and all that food for free.
Of course they liked us. They loved us. They absolutely adored us. And they absolutely did let us have the room for free. It was just one or two drinks he wanted us to pay for. So nothing at all, really. It is absolutely fine. Everything is very, very good. Maybe don't go back to that clearing anytime in the next 5-10 years. I believe that is when the statute of limitations runs out.
But I still don't notice that there's any money on my character sheet anywhere, so I'm slightly worried about this place.
Do you not like the plan? It is foolproof.
Just so you know, though, money is depletion is includes money. So if you need to pay for a thing, either you have you may have a value like a purse of coins which has a certain amount of uses, or you just result to your depletion.
Depletion, the one that I only have one left of out of four.
That will be it.
hang on. By having loads of food, doesn't that give me, like, depletions back?
If you were to, for example, swan through the kitchen and just completely tank up, stuff your pockets and fill your boots with everything, that would give you, a point of depletion from supplies. Just eating food doesn't give you depletion back, but it would give you exhaustion.
Can I do that, or will the innkeeper stop me?
One of your special things is if you massively overindulge.
Yes.
What that would do is if that would clear your exhaustion track.
Oh, exhaustion. Okay, I don't care about that.
Which is currently full, but it does mean that if you get exhausted, you can just take a break and
use my charm offensive to get lots of free stuff at this inn?
Yes. I mean, what you can do with that is sort of Kick into the long grass any question about precisely when the tab will be settled. And you can keep doing that up until the point when you are no longer there and it becomes a moot point.
Can I do that?
It's not. You've only just turned up. So it won't be an issue
yet. Of course.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The worried looks are mostly because you were asking some questions the previous night about the mysterious message in Silas's tankard.
Hello, Monsieur Innkeeper. I've forgotten your name. What is your name, please?
Is Foif.
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 Are you sure?
Oi. I don't know where this accent is going, but it's going somewhere.
Monsieur Foif, I would like to apologise for the last night, because clearly I made you a tiny bit uncomfortable with one or two questions about the ceramics. I happen to be an admirer of the ceramics. My brother, he has a ceramic shop. He makes all his own ceramics and sells them, and they're very beautiful. So I was just very curious about how one would do the scraping. But you are obviously distressed by that, and I hope you are feeling better this morning, and the good night's sleep has replenished your joy at the world.
Well, I don't know has anyone got a good night's sleep last night, but ain't anything. I'm very well, thank you, mistress.
Excellent. Now, do you have any more coffee?
I will send one of the moist to get you one.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I head back to the table.
Well, you turn around.
Oh, no, don't stand in the back.
Standing immediately behind you is a cat.
Monsieur Cat, hello. How are you this morning?
This is a familiar cat. This is, in fact, the major's assistant.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Hello, Mr. Cat.
Well, good morning. And she puts a steaming mug of coffee in your hand.
Oh, this is very kind.
Just the otter I wanted to see. I don't suppose you'd be averse to attending just a little meeting today with drinkies and cakes?
Oh, I do like the drinkies and cakes. Will the Mr. Sphinx be there?
No, he's devolved this matter to me.
Ah.
I'm afraid the Major is in high dudgeon at the moment. Someone burned rather a lot of his tents. He's very fond of the tents.
What?
And some priceless musical instruments were sadly entirely irreparable.
Oh, as an otter of culture, that is particularly saddening for me. I am so sorry.
As a cat of culture, it's not particularly saddening to me, frankly, but there we go.
I'm so sorry. I liked your little band.
Yes. Well, there's no accounting for taste. I would be very obliged if around mid-morning you might find your way to the mill, where we're having a bit of an impromptu get-together.
Is this you and the other cats?
It's myself and some other leading citizens of like minds to yourself.
I see. I would be most pleased to join you. I enjoy the coffee and the cakes.
Excellent, excellent. And you never know. If things turn out well, the future of Red Mill involves a number of high-ranking positions and sinecures and so forth that will need filling, you know? Just a thought, responsible business otter that you are.
I that is most interesting, Monsieur Cat. Very Madam, interesting Madam indeed. Cat. Madam Cat, very interesting indeed.
Good, I'm glad you're interested. I will see you in a few hours' time then, if that's all right.
It will be my pleasure, Madam.
Excellent.
Has the cat gone?
The moment you look away, the cat is gone.
Okay, this is very disturbing. Is it actually gone or is it turned invisible in somewhere in the room?
You don't know. It's entirely up to you what you believe cats can do, but that was one very stealthy cat.
Okay, I would like to... Is there a method in this where I can do like a check for is there a cat nearby? Or is my sense of smell very good or something?
I don't think that's a particularly utterly
is
prerequisite.
Is a badger thing?
However, you spend a worried while kind of making sure none of the mice is a cat in disguise and generally making a bit of a nuisance of yourself, and you assure yourself that there doesn't appear to be that cat in this
back
room anymore.
Back to the table. I have just had, as you may have noticed, a very interesting encounter.
I'm sorry, no. So I've been looking out the window. I've been looking for that bird chap that was writing in cups.
You did not see the cat.
Cat? No, what cat?
For goodness sake. Very well, I shall tell you everything. Okay, yesterday I had the meeting with the Monsieur Sphinx, General Major person.
Are you sure you saw a cat? You do have drunk an awful lot of coffee. You think I would have noticed with all these mice around here if a cat suddenly walked in?
It was a very stealthy cat, and also the coffee does not make you drunk. It is not Irish coffee, it is French coffee, which is a different liqueur you put in the coffee, but also it is non-drunken coffee. Please, it's very important that you listen.
Oh, I'm listening. You tell me about this cat you saw then.
Yes, this cat is the adjutant to the major, who I had tea with yesterday. She has come here to invite me to a secret meeting at the mill at midday. I believe that they wish me to join the the cat revolution here. They're an invading army. They attempted to bribe me with the position here, a power and the money. And I just think that I will be going and I may commit to this course of action, but I also want you all to know what is going on, just in case, you know, you get stabbed by any cats. Does that all make sense? I hope that makes sense.
Well, I mean, we've only been here a day. I probably wouldn't be settling down straight away, but if this is somewhere you feel like, you know, settling down, building a house and making a nice home for yourself...
Of course not, because they cannot be trusted and they're very sneaky and there are other citizens here who are also, I think, going to be at this mill. Or it may be a trap and I may die. I don't know. But this adjutant, very clever, very clever. Do not underestimate them. The Major Sphinx is a fool. He can be, you say nice things to him about cats and he loves you and treats you to cake. The adjutant, sneaky, very sneaky.
Like you've described every cat I've ever saw, you know, give them what they want and they're happy. but sneaky at the same time.
Not this adjutant.
Right, okay.
No, the major is not sneaky at all. He's an idiot, a complete idiot. It is this one I am worried about. They may be the true power here. Oh, I'm very nervous. I do not want them to kill me in a mill. It will be very undignified. But I'm going anyway in case there's shiny things, also the promised cake.
Well, I'm happy to come along if that's what you're asking.
Oh, God, no. Don't do that. They will be on to me. No. I am saying be careful and, yes, both of you be careful and do not trust that cat. And also, because I am sneaking around with the cats, I'm letting you know everything that's going on in case you think I'm sneaking around with them as a traitor. I am not a traitor. I am simply seeing what I can get out of them before you run away.
I've got it.
Excellent, excellent. My God, I do not know why I hang around with the badgers. They are so badgery. Oh, I am concerned for your safety, but you know, you'll be fine. You're a very tanky individual. They cannot stab you with all that tank around you.
And about that time, the innkeeper puts an extra large tankard of coffee in front of you.
Otto, is this... Hello? Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
That really depends how jittery you want to be for your meeting.
Not the coffee. I mean the innkeeper with the giant thing, the giant coffee. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Is this saying you like me or you hate me, Monsieur Innkeeper?
Your impression is that he is doing it to keep you to make you think he likes you and to keep you sweet and not asking awkward questions.
Oh, okay. Your plan has worked. I will have the coffee and I will stop. I will stop asking you annoying questions about ceramics.
Meanwhile, back at the phylanstery. I like the word phylanstery. It is a real word. I only discovered that relatively recently.
We could not guess that from your your pronunciation.
So. You are sitting down with the enormously excitable Happy Hostry and with the considerably calmer phalansterist Acasta.
So, I think there's a general consensus here, or not that I share in it necessarily, that something has to be done to free this town from the toing and froing of modern warfare.
Yes, yes, entirely, yes.
As a matter of theory, says Acasta, yes. However, the idea that now both Hostry and you, Sorin, have suggested, which is to let the two of them fight it out, has one major flaw. The governor has about 15 fighting birds on his staff. There are at least 50 cats out there. Now, the reason that we are not currently all flying orange flags and paying taxes to the Marquis is this. The cats believe that if they hold off and conduct a campaign of persuasion, then people here will rise up and drive out the governor without them having to lift a finger and willingly join the Marquisate. And they've got enough sense to know that's better than them having to keep hold of a resentful populace. But their patience is limited. If this comes down to a straight fight, then the birds are out of here. And although... rather cats than birds is my personal opinion. There's not a great deal in it, and I don't imagine that the taxes get smaller because both sides are very keen on reminding you that there's a war on. If there was some way of having the birds leave but not having the cats enter, I would be delighted. I would feel my duty to the dragon had been done, and more so.
Do you think maybe then what is required is for the people of the clearing to find more fault in the Marquisate and to perhaps see them for the brutes they are?
It's It's a possibility. The cats have been very clever so far, or at least moderately intelligent so far. They have exported their music, for better or worse. They have wooed some of the major people in the town. They've ensured that there are at least a few receptive ears in positions of prominence ready to welcome them should they turn up with their marching band and their soldiers as liberators rather than conquerors.
I have heard it said that the Eyrie here have a considerable war chest in that house, in that big house. Would the Marquisate be interested in that war chest?
Hostry explodes instantly into a fresh enthusiasm. Yes, Count Ermenrude's treasure. Everyone knows about it. It's in the cellars beneath the governor's mansion, or it's in the caves under this very clearing. Everyone knew when Count Ermenrude was driven out of this clearing during the Civil War, he didn't have a chance to take his treasure. He was a notably, renownably rich bird. He just left. Where's the treasure? No one knows. It's got to be in the mansion.
I'm known for my ability to put together an engine, and I'm seeing an engineer that might work to solve a number of problems at once. I think the first thing we have to do is go and talk to his flappy ship and having had a clear look at the forces arrayed against him, try and get him to do a flyer, try and get him to do a runner in the night. And I have seen many a cat chaser bird. If he were to do a runner in the night and apparently take his treasure with him, do we not think that the forces of the Marquisate might pursue rather than remain here and annoy the locals?
Well, with a certain amount of careful management, I suppose they might, but why would they not just come back when they'd either caught him or given up the chase? I mean, the Marquisate are very fond of orders.
More thought is required.
Unless you could find something out there that would bloody their nose enough that they would just go home.
Yes, I think that is a clear part of the plan. I mean, for an organisation such as theirs that is fond of order and fond of subjugation, what I imagine they would find absolutely intolerable would be a populace who are ungovernable. And if we can find ways of agitating the locals here enough as to make them unappealing to these newcomers, then maybe that would discourage them from staying around.
Hostry is enormously enthusiastic about this, but as before, Acastra is a bit of a break on the proceedings. If you can find a way to accomplish this, by all means, but just be aware that if you pull the whiskers of the cat a little, just enough to annoy them, then the people of this town, especially the poorest, will suffer for it. If you're going to go and yank their tail and tweak their nose, do it hard enough that they run off, won't you?
Yes, quite. But from what you've said, the people of this clearing are going to suffer either way. Surely it is better that they suffer for a reason.
Well, there's a difference between a few beatings and some swinging taxes and half the town being marched off to work in a quarry somewhere. That's all I'll say. And from someone who has done both, believe me, there is a difference.
I see some fuel. That treasure, that be fuel. I do not yet see the lever, but the lever will come to us.
I know that you are very much the engineer here, Derwent, but in my experience, fuel requires tinder, not levers.
Well, you'd know this business a bit better than I do. I'm just like a clockwork metal and steel. I know what I'm doing here.
Going full Wurzels.
Anyhow, brilliant. Jubis, go on a big house.
Okay, so what Nos contribution posture is if you're looking for those of like mind to do something desperate, then come over after dark to the Flag of Convenience and I can introduce you to people.
I don't know that I'll be coming myself, but I'll see if I can get word to the Salamander.
Yes! Yes, you can assure the Salamander he will have a fine welcome there.
I shall let him know.
So, what are your next move or moves?
Shall we go and find the others? I think it would be merciful to go and find
them. Shall I assume you can meet up with the others before Bennett's mid-morning meeting?
Well, Silas's plan was to let Bennett go off, but then follow at a distance.
Right. Okay, because
Silas being Bennett's protector,
you're the stealthiest one in the party with your enormous armor.
Is Bennett aware of this brilliant plan?
Well, let's reunite the four of you first. So mid morning back at the Shaved Ferret.
Oh, hello, Fife.
I want to tell the others about the sneaky cat adjutant who's very, you know, who's not an idiot. Whereas the major absolutely is, and this
alleged cat.
Gracious! There was a cat. I did not have a conversation with the coffee mug.
Speaking of coffee, Bennett, are you going to finish that very large tankard of coffee? Because I feel in need of some more energy at the moment. I didn't sleep much last night, and I feel today is going to require a lot of enthusiasm.
This was a bribe to get me to stop asking questions about ceramics. It is my shiny scene.
There is something written on the bottom of this coffee mug too. It says caution art.
I don't think you should make jokes about the ceramics. We have already gotten into trouble for this and
I'm looking forward to a long conversation with barkeep, but no.
You can go have a conversation with the barkeep, and if you ask him enough questions, he will bring you some giant coffee mug too.
Okay, so don't. I beg your pardon, I didn't realise you were actually I thought you were just having an accent off with the body.
Well, yeah, honestly, it was just because of that. Don't worry about it.
Would you like to talk?
No. It's okay. Let's ask the audience, shall we? No. Okay.
There is the sound of hammering from outside the inn. A number of mice kind of pop their heads around the door to see what's going on, and then very hurriedly pretend to want to have nothing to do with it.
Gotta go look.
Silas will peer out the window. I think he is sat in the window seat right now.
You see a couple of the governor's guards nailing up posters. Wanted for theft. And then a very rough drawing of a masked lizard. On the other side of the door, and very pointedly not paying any attention to them, a couple of Marquisate soldiers are putting up posters wanted for arson with a different picture of a masked lizard. Sufficiently different style that there may be a large number of felonious masked lizards out there.
Oh.
Is there a reward for turning in this masked lizard?
I was literally about to ask.
The Marquisate are offering a reward.
Yes.
The governor is apparently just relying in purely on civic duty.
Okay, I think we should turn the salamander into the marcasite if we happen to come across them at any point. What do you say?
Yes, I think we absolutely should. Yes, I imagine how much damage he could do if he were within their camp. Yes, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Interesting, very interesting. Okay, well, also it occurs that we have not met this governor person yet. Is we not going to do that at any point so we can judge how terrible he is in case we want to do an assassination?
You could all come along with me. I got an invite to go see him this morning.
I already have a meeting this morning.
Oh, sorry if your diary has got so packed. You got a window later on?
So, next steps.
Is it time to go to my secret meeting with the scary cat?
Assuming nothing else, we are getting to mid-morning. Well, Bennett is about to head off for her meeting, which we'll deal with in the next session, I think.
I say, wish me luck. If I should die, then, don't do anything bad to my stuff. I may become a ghost and want it back. Farewell!
Okay, so the rest of you, Silas, are you still planning to shadow Bennett to the mill?
Oh, yeah, so as soon as Bennett sort of disappears, I'm going to say, well, sorry, fellas, it's been great seeing you and all. I mean, it's been a while and that, but I've got a meeting as well. An entirely different meeting, completely different to where Bennett's going. I just happened to bump into an old friend, that's right, and we're going to go for the brew up somewhere else. So if you excuse me.
Does he not have to roll for lying?
Well, only if that was in any way convincing. So, Soren and Derwent, what are your plans?
Well, I think as soon as Silas leaves, you know, Soren's just going to look straight at Derwent and say, "Ooh, Silas is being ever so sneaky and surreptitious there. You don't suppose he's secretly the salamander, do you?"
Almost certainly.
I mean, their names even begin with S's. That can't be a coincidence.
I have seen a salamander costume in his room. Don't let the fact he be a badger get in the way of your theory.
I'd love to think that we're having this conversation loudly enough in the inn that there are probably a few people overhearing it.
Oh yeah, okay. mice have big ears, as is well known. So what are you doing, or are you just gonna? Well, are you?
I'm gonna go and have my meeting with the governor.
Okay, and Soren,
would you mind terribly if I came with you?
Oh, but it's not going to stop you, is it?
So, Silas, you shrug your enormously loud plate mail onto your shoulders. You see the disappearing ottery tail of Bennett heading off south towards the mill.
So, I did slightly misspeak. I'm actually not going to follow them because I know where they're going.
Fair.
So... I'm going to hold off and I'm going to arrive at the meeting at a time after them and then just go through the door.
So you wait till give Bennett a decent head start, make sure you're well out of earshot, and then stroll off towards the mill, which is indeed one of the big dominating landmarks of Red Mill. It is indeed red. It is the Red Mill of Red Mill Clearing. You get about halfway there before you are intercepted by a half dozen Marquisate soldiers.
Sorry.
Who are...
I said it was really...
who take one look at you, look at a piece of paper they're holding. says, "That's him. That's the salamander." And we'll leave it there.
Beautiful.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh my god.
And on that bombshell, we leave it. So thank you everyone for playing. And thank you everyone at home for listening. We'll be back very soon with the next inexplicable episode of Razor RPG. we will do some quick sign off. So if you'd like to hear the next episode right now, please head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/howwerollpodcast, where not only will the next episode be located, but there'll be a whole load of cool stuff which you can only find on Patreon, including some Cult Divinity Lost and Call of Cthulhu. So yeah, head over there right now, patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. If you want to get in touch with us, please join us on Twitter at HWRpodcast. Join our Discord, which is very much the hub of our social media community. We've got about 1,000 people on there chatting about all sorts of things, from DIY to RPGs to a book club which we're running. So please do check that out, and there's links to that in the show notes. If you want to get hold of me, my name is Joe, and you can find me at Joe the GM and on that said Discord. And as I said before, please do check out our Patreon. Scott, thank you so much for playing. It's been a blast. Where can people find more of you?
Yes, if people want to chat with me, again, you can find me on the How We Roll Discord. You can find me on Twitter at S.Dorwood. Or if you want to hear some of the other podcasting stuff I do, you could always try The Good Friends of Jackson Elias, the podcast that I do with my good friends Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson, where we talk about spooky RPGs mainly, but also weird fiction, horror films, and other cool stuff.
It's probably worth saying as well, if you do want to hear Scott actually start a cult, he does so in our Cult Divinity Lost games, but it's not quite as family friendly as in this game.
No, that is a bit more of, shall we say, a death cult.
It's actually a death cult.
Yes.
Paul, again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I haven't laughed so much in a very long time.
Big boy, Paul.
Fair. Is there anything you'd like to plug, share, or mention?
it takes a bit of getting out of now because it's my real accent. It actually does take I'm at paulcornell.com. That's where you can find me.
Thank you so much. And Liz, again, thank you so much for playing. Is there anything you'd like to plug, share, or mention? Where can people find more of you?
I'm on Twitter at LMMiles. I have a very badly updated blog, www.lizwithmiles.com. And if you like Doctor Who, please check out one of Big Finish's most recent releases, The Outlaws, the First Doctor audio drama that is got as bad a jokes in it as I have made during this podcast.
Fantastic. And last but by no means least, thank you so much, Adrian, for taking us through this. It's been an absolute pleasure. Where can people find more of you?
So I have a variety of books which hopefully are available where books can be found, and I'm at adrianchaikovsky.com.
And of course in How We Roll Podcast in Flotsam and Jetsam.
Oh yes, sorry.
So we'll be back very, very soon with the next exciting episode. If you cannot wait, please do check out our Patreon. And thank you so much for listening. And we are out.
Hey.
Oh yes.
Is it all right? Is it all right that we're moving so much towards comedy? Is that okay?
That's kind of how I was intending it.
What on earth are you talking about? I'm doing drama here, man.
I mean, I think it's going to be one of those where there will probably be a reasonably serious denouement.
What?